watching people going around. I'm just like a waterfall up in front. And just to pay no attention, just a lot of voices up there. You're looking around, you're distracted. You're not giving your pastor your time. You're not giving your pastor your respect. We're trying to start a service tonight. We'd like you to all come over and sit down and give your attention to the service tonight, if you would, please. It isn't very often I have to say that, but I can see that people are still not paying attention. I think I'm saying nothing uphill. But I want to say something. We spend a lot of time singing. This isn't a pep talk. I just want to tell you something. We spend a lot of time singing. Just go ahead and play up a bit, if you will. And there's a reason. And it's important how we sing. I think it was this last Friday night, wasn't it? Was it this last Friday night? I can't remember for sure. Or either the Sunday night before that. We came in and I got up and I just felt moved upon by the Spirit and I really poured it home and my. The people took the challenge. They opened up to God and we had a song service. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord was there. And in a way that it would not be if we did not put everything we had into it. You get out of it what you put into it. And when I brought that challenge on the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there was a tremendous response. Immediately, the Spirit of the Lord came down. You know, we can sing without having the Spirit of the Lord come down. We can just have a song service and sing words, have a little fleshly feeling. But unless God is in it and doing something in our hearts, it falls to the ground. The time passes and it has not accomplished its God-intended purpose. And it's important that we put ourselves in that framework because the enemy of our souls, you can be sure, does not want us to worship him in spirit and in truth. He does not want the truth to come forth with a spirit and anointing. He wants to, if the truth has to come forth in our song services, he wants it unanointed. He wants our minds distracted. He wants it to be soulical, at least not spiritual, fleshly if preferred. He wants it to be just some little excitement. He wants it to be something that you don't really equate with or mean or make a vow about. And it's important how we come into the service of God. Now, God has given singing for some very wonderful reasons. Out in the world, we have tribulation. In the workaday world, we have difficulties, we have pains and so forth, and there's a lot of negative confessions at times. But you see, the singing offsets all the negative confessions, because the songs are not negative. They're all, God knows the way through the wilderness. He's the lifter up of our heads. We are more than conquerors, and all the truths of God's word come forth in his word, and we find ourselves reiterating truth. And you always rise or fall to the level of your affirmation. And we are constantly affirming God's truth and standing on it. Faith begins to rise in our hearts. And the discouragements we had during the week and the devil lying to us and battling in the things of the world and circumstances and all the things, you come into the house of the Lord and you're maybe a little discouraged in some respects, a little dulled, and then the Spirit of the Lord would have you begin taking the truths. And we can say these words and have you all repeat them, but when you put them to a Holy Ghost music, if we have the right music, if we have a spiritual uplifting music, if we have a praising and loving music, it begins to lift the spirit. It begins to lift the soul. That's why we don't want the melancholy. We want that which just lifts, makes you feel like marching in triumph and dancing in God and clapping your hands and raising your hands and loving and worshiping. We want something that will build faith. And it begins to build faith in God's people. It encourages you and builds you so you can face some more days out there, because Jesus said we're out in the world, but we're not of it. Not only that, but in the songs, we worship him. We praise him. We take time to state what he is doing for us and what he has been doing, and to give him honor. And we can't all take time to testify, but this becomes the mass testimony of everyone testifying together the truths of God, and we are going on in God, and he has delivered me, and the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me, and all these truths that we sing. bow over and let the devil know that we are on God's side. It reiterates our covenant with God. We come back, and each time we are reiterating the covenant. We are filling our minds with truths, with positive truths, with faith. It's building something in the believer. We are making a stand through this. We allow the Holy Spirit to begin to touch our spirit. As we sing spiritual music, our spirit begins to be touched, and we leave the role, the area of the solicle that we've been in all week, and begin to move in spiritual planes so the Spirit of the Lord can begin to teach us. We begin to build a faith and a climate for the Word of God so it falls on plowed-up, fertile ground. God's people would be very discouraged if they did not have the song services that would keep them. This is the time when God's Spirit comes among His people. When they reiterate His truth, His Spirit comes down among them and touches their spirit, and He revitalizes them. And they go out feeling God is still on the throne, and we have victory in Him, and we're going to make it on through. And God's Spirit is uplifting us. Moreover, the Scripture says that when David began to play his instrument before Saul, the spirit, evil spirits in him left him. They did not like to be around that music, and they began to leave. The power of the truth and the music drove them out. And as we begin to sing these songs, it begins driving out these spirits. It breaks the power of the lies of the enemy that have been intruding upon your minds during the week and other situations. And as self-condemnation would set up, and God brings this and begins to build faith, you begin to find that you can magnify the Lord. His blood is sufficient for you. And you find out that we are more than conquerors in God. As we begin to open up, build into Him, and declare these things, these truths are being embedded in our minds, fortifying us in the days to come. When discouragement will come into the enemy, we've got something here. You know, we dealt with one spirit who said to a person during an exorcism, that spirit left. He left or something. Said, and the person said, "Who left?" And he said, "I did." He said, "Well, you're still healed." He said, "Well, I left and came back, stupid." And he said, "Well, where did you go?" He said, "I went down the street. I went down to check on another lady down the street." In that brief time, he didn't like the exorcism. Now, if this be true, you don't really know. But if this be true, the spirit, if he's telling the truth, he didn't like, during the time when he was being attacked and accused and all this, he just left and went down to check on somebody else, apparently. Now, how did he know who else was there? They had some homing device there. Because he could find. They had something in their spirit. He'd find a homing device. And whenever you find a homing device, you use it. Oftentimes, if somebody's got something in their spirit, he found, he went out and checked on somebody. Who knows how many thousands of demons go out and check on somebody else in a song service? They don't like to be in it. Except in distracting spirits and sleeping spirits that will work on you harder than ever. Or being forced, perhaps, to stay and under threat and really battle you. And they hate this music. They would rather go on. Who knows what happens when these spirits begin to leave and God's people are free and can begin to see things when the Spirit of God is moving in the realms of faith like they cannot see any other time. This is why we don't just sing mechanically, intellectually, solically, but we want people to move in with their hearts and spirit, because this is a time of spiritual activity when the Spirit of the Lord begins to come and the angelic messengers of God begin to come and drive away the evil spirits of lies and fortify with truth and begin to lift God's saints. It's an important time in the service. It isn't just some liturgy. And I feel that every time we come into this place and we've got a half hour or so to sing, we need to make sure that time is well spent. We need to make sure that we sing in the right vein with our hearts open in the spirit. We need to open up to God and make our affirmations, get a hold of faith. We need to open our spirit. We need to begin to champion the things of God and the truths of His Word. It's important that we don't sit there and sing and that our minds wander and sing from the intellect. Amen? And you don't come here tired, duressed. This is not a show. This is something that you are participators in the work and move of the Spirit. and if God's people will bind together, and if there is a oneness in this thing, and they will put forth energy for God and begin to praise Him and begin to lay hold of truth, God's Spirit will come down and it will begin, He will begin to move. He will begin to move. And when He begins to move and evil spirits come off of people and sicknesses come off of people and the mind begins to be clear and they begin to be rejoicing and begin to be filled with the Spirit and refilled, anything can happen in God. And tonight I want us to open up and give this time to the Lord. That's why we came here tonight. Let's shake it all mind wandering to go, the people Amen. Next to us. Amen. Let's center in on God. Let's give the to Him. Let's honor Him and respect Him tonight. Amen. Are you behind me in this? God bless you. Would you stand, please, as we begin tonight? We'll take a hold of that truth by faith. And we'll stand on it. We'll believe it with all their hearts. We'll get dogmatic about it. We'll really care about it. God's people will be free. The devil cannot bind God's people. When God's people recognize that they don't have to be bound, that they have a right in Jesus Christ to be free. When we rebuke the devil, he has got to flee. When we stand against those demonic spirits that have come to us, that we've opened up to, and we renounce them, we rebuke them, we take a strong stand against them, we completely and totally divorce them out of our life and thought, we will not have them. We turn to eternal truth inside with God, and we call upon God to help us. We refuse to stand any longer under their condemnation and under their slander. In the name of Jesus, we take that authority given to us. God's people are free. He whom the Spirit, our Son, makes free is free indeed. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, you don't have to be bound. But if you love that Spirit, if you love that Spirit that comes to you, if you want that thing, although you want to be stripped of it, but you love that thing and you hold on to it, you cannot be free. But when you come to the cross and you give that thing up and you say, I have a right to be free, I am no longer going to be under this condemnation of the devil. I will not be in this darkness, this damp, this choking, this binding any longer. This spirit of death has to go. This spirit of condemnation, self-condemnation has to go. This spirit of doubt has to go. This spirit of fear has to go. This spirit of lethargy has to go. This spirit of sin has to go. I will come out of that thing. I will give my life. I will let Jesus purify me. We will be free of these spirits. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bind together against every spirit of the devil. We command them to leave our lives. We will not have them speaking to us. We will not listen to them. They shall not control God's people. We will not hear these voices. We will not listen to these things. We will not entertain these thoughts. We will not pass them on. We will appropriate the Word of God, the power of God, the life of God, and faith believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm so glad Jesus took
me. I'm so glad. Tonight, I've only done this once in 15 years here that I know of. And it's all right to say Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free, because you have one long context. He had me bound, but Jesus set me free. It's right to clap, but to dramatize what God is doing. That is to take this thing and put it into a place where we can really see and feel it, you know, in our hearts. Because Satan has had many of us bound, but Jesus has set us free. He is setting people free, and I rejoice in that. I want the pianist to drag that first part and put it down, but Satan had me bound. No clapping about that. And then we speed it up and come up to the mountaintops and clap, but Jesus set me free. Now, I'm not doing this just for a lot of fun. I don't do things for a lot of fun. But I want us to really feel and see the difference to let the devil see and God see and the angels of heaven and ourselves tonight that Satan had us bound. We were dragging these chains. We could hardly go, but Jesus is giving a lightness. He is giving a freedom. There's a new joy. He's buoying us by His Spirit. Let's sing it that way tonight, this time, and let's rejoice for what God is doing. And if God hasn't set you free yet, why don't you take it by faith? And why don't you begin to declare the Word of God and the promise of God for you? Begin to say, Lord, starting tonight, I recognize that 2,000 years ago You set me free. And I am going to take that promise for me tonight, like when I came to Jesus Christ. You did something 2,000 years ago that when I responded, it was done in me. And by Your stripes we were healed. You did something 2,000 years ago, and we respond by faith, we're healed. And so, Lord, You did something 2,000 years ago concerning deliverance for me and my sins that I'm going to claim right now. And from this moment on, I am going to claim freedom in every area, and I'm going to walk in every one of those areas, and I'm going to stand on the Word like Jesus, and I'm going to rebuke the devil, and I'm going to reprove him, and I'm going to stand against that thing, and I am going to walk free in Jesus Christ, and that demon will have nothing in me, and he'll have to leave. Let's sing it again tonight. Stand as you sing this, if you will, please. Have set a Bible on the chest of a person who's being delivered. Those spirits have said, get that Bible off of me. They don't like that thing. I know tonight they don't like this song that we have sung. And we sing, but Jesus set me free. Satan, you had me bound, but Jesus set me free. He doesn't like to hear that. But praise God, we're going to sing it and declare it anyway. Amen. We want to give space tonight for some testimonies of those that God is setting free. Hallelujah. Jesus said He cast out demons by the finger of God. Not by the arm, just a finger. Just flick them out of place like a tiddlywink. It's no problem for God. And you remember when the disciples came to Jesus and they'd been casting out demons. You know, they've been coming against Him in the name of Jesus. No demons have been leaving. And they got kind of excited about this. And they were rejoicing that demons were subject to them. And they were having good ministry. But they came against a tough case. And they all took turns with it. And they took, come at them together. I'm reading between the lines. You know they must have. But they worked on this thing. And they finally lugged the fellow over to Christ. All down along the path, found Christ. They were all together. And saying, we couldn't cast them out. They all ganged up on this one man. We all tried it together. We all worked on it. We couldn't cast him out. They asked why. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. He didn't say because of the devil. He said because of your unbelief. Now, he admitted these certain ones are stronger than others. But the problem wasn't his strength. His problem was your unbelief. Even with your unbelief, you can cast out these. Now, some kinds take a little faith. You know, we come and we wrestle with this thing, and we're like the man that Jesus asked him if he believed. He said, yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Yes, of course we believe. Help our unbelief, Lord. Yes, I believe. Give me faith. But when we come and say, this is my right, and this, and the word cannot be broken, and nothing's going to stand in this way, and then the demons say, you know, this guy, he's a rough one. He means business. I mean, he believes this thing. See, he is just shouting at us and saying, oh, boy, when's he going to come out? And then they shout again. Well, this is what I thought. He's not really doing it. I was kind of worried about that. See, he's not doing that. He knows he's got grounds, and he knows he's going to go. And we come, and you know, a lot of people, after they come and you counsel them a while and so forth, what they say, all right, pastor, counselor, I'm going to give it a whirl. See? I didn't want to give it a whirl. Will you do it? I'll try. I don't want to try. I want to do it. And you see, the thing is, we have not set ourselves to say, You can count on me. I set myself this day like flint. I make a covenant between heaven and earth and my God. Know all the demons in hell come against me. I want to promise you, I make a covenant between you and God right now. Brother, I am set in this thing, and never again will you ever have to talk to me about this. This matter is settled once and for all in my mind. I have come against the devil. That's what we want to heal. Not, well, we'll try it. Give it a whirl. See? There's too many Christians that are living that way. That's where their faith is. That's why they can't get delivered. That's why nothing's happening. Well, I pray against it. But they do not come and take a stand against it 100% with everything they got till they hate that thing. They have not built a hatred. They have not built themselves up with a positiveness in God until they stand with a conviction on this side and they leave that side and they'll never be that way again. For they have come into new truth. They've come into conviction. They have changed sides. They just want to hope that it maybe works for them. You see, we have got to be people of conviction. This age has robbed people of conviction. This is an age of little conviction. People don't care what they believe because we don't care what people believe, you know. I mean, people believe all kinds of things and who cares? There's not much conviction. We've got to have a conviction about this thing. Amen. I'd like to have the ushers come at this time and receive the evening offering. Well, I heard Dr. Robert McAllister say with his own mouth that a woman down in Brazil that was in his church and had a daughter that was in his church, a grown daughter, and was Pentecostal, believed in the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost. And this daughter had a sickness that they prayed about and couldn't get healed. And they took this woman, 85% of Brazil is practicing spiritualist, he said. And his neighbor said, well, we have healings at all seances. Why don't you bring her? She'll get healed. Well, they wanted healing for her so badly, and since the Lord didn't seem to be healing her, they made the frightful choice in order to get healed. Kind of like the terrible thing that Winston Churchill said during the wartime when England had his back to the wall and he said we'd serve the devil if he'd help us. Terrible statement. And they took her to a seance and this infirmity came off of her. And her mother said, okay, now honey, you're healed. And then she didn't come to church. She went to her and she said, okay, now you're healed. Now come back to the Pentecostal church. And the daughter had not renounced her faith. She believed in the Pentecostal experience. She believed in Jesus Christ. She didn't go to renouncing any faith. She just was looking for an extra biblical healing, which was a mistake. And she said, I can't. The spirits won't let me. Now that's more than a spirit tempting somebody. That's more than a spirit lodged in a body that's just tempting. That's talking about a spirit that has complete control over a person so they can't even do what they want to do. And that came from his own mouth, what happened to a Pentecostal woman as she stepped into the area of where the occult was. I would like you to stand tonight and pray with me that God will anoint this message to your hearts. Our precious Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Lamb of God and Savior of our souls, coming King of Kings, we ask Thee tonight that You might anoint Thy servant, anoint this message, and anoint Thy people to receive it. Open our hearts and tell, Lord, the lies of the devil to shreds, that we might see Jesus more clearly and follow Him and be delivered in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message, Through Demonic Hosts to the Rapture. Paul, the Apostle, warned by the Holy Ghost that in the last days there would come deception by evil spirits. I want to read to you 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit, now listen very carefully. Now the Spirit, meaning the Spirit of God, speaketh expressly. The Spirit of God is speaking very plainly and specifically that in the latter times, that's the age we're living in, some shall depart from the faith. They had the faith. They were Christians. You cannot depart from something you haven't been. Giving heed, paying attention to, giving heed to seducing spirits. Seducing spirits that would seduce, and doctrines, that's teachings, of devils, or the Greek is demons. Doctrines of demons. Doctrines that came from demons. Deceiving people. Paul warned of being deceived by evil spirits. Paul warned of being seduced by evil spirits. Paul warned of doctrines coming from evil spirits. And particularly in the end time. In Matthew 24, Jesus warned of wars that would come in the last days. And who would they come? Who do they come from if it was not from the devil? It's even the devil and his hordes of demons that bring the world to Armageddon, the scripture says. Jesus warned of rumors of wars. Demonic spirits that would imbibe people with fears and rumors. Who is the rumor monger save the devil? He is the spirit of rumor mongering. He warned of false messiahs, false Christs, like Sun Moon, who just got a year and a half prison sentence, I read in the paper today. He warned of brother being set against brother, and father against mother, and various ones in the family in the last days. And who is a divider but the devil and his demonic forces? He talked about races against races in racial strife and battling. Ethnos against ethnos. Ethnic against ethnic. That there was a stirring up of hatred between the sons of Adam because of different ethnic origins. Well, they would come and have fighting one against another, and do warfare. And who is behind that if it's not for the devil? And he warned of hatred coming in the last days. And the devil is the one who is full of all hate, who gives hate. He warned of false prophets. Those who would come and prophesy and teach as prophets that were false, and the devil is behind that. He warned of lawlessness. And this is the spirit of law, the age of the spirit of lawlessness. And he talked about the lawless one that would come, or the Antichrist. And that is coming from the devil himself. Now, demons are seducing unbelievers as never before in the history of the world in a Christian nation. They are being seduced to do things they would never do. And he is seducing believers to do things they would never do. Seducing Christians, even Holy Ghost-filled Christians. Seducing them to commit adulteries and fornications and involved in occultisms and all types of things, even in sodomy. Demons are putting out their doctrines as never before. The world is full of doctrines. The number of denominations, religious sects, more properly, in the United States has increased in the last decade from around 450 to thousands. It's just blossomed out. And these demons are giving their doctrines to Christians. They're putting them in Christians' minds. And the Christians are finding that they are accepting these doctrines. They're overpowering the doctrine of the Word of God. And they are walking around with the devil's doctrine. The devil is coming saying, "Hath God said?" Questioning God and putting something else in, and they take it. Just take the one example of this worldwide fad that's come into being of accusing all other churches and other pastors and other elderships and not allow them to operate their God-given responsibility as a government for their own church, so everybody now feels it's community responsibility to go around and judge long distances and accuse from hearsay and rumors in spite of all the scriptures clearly to the contrary. That when you bring the scriptures to them pointedly and show them the scriptures, they pay no attention to the scriptures. It means absolutely nothing because they have received in their mind doctrines of demons, accusing spirits of God's people, and they throw out the Bible and say, "Well, I think." And then out comes a doctrine of the devil that is clearly contrary to the Word of God. I asked one of them several times by letter. Each time I went to the scriptures, and every single reply ignored totally the scriptures and the whole thing I brought. There was not one, never once, they'll. And each time I brought them right to the scripture, asked them pointedly about it, and every time they totally ignored it because they had nothing to say, but they continued right on. Demons are seducing and deceiving as never before. They're deceiving. They're making people feel like the feelings they put on them are to override the Word of God. After having been taught that the Word of God is paramount and overall, when they get a feeling, either to attack or accuse or something contrary to the Word of God, or to believe that that Jesus doesn't love them or the blood of Christ doesn't cover or anything, they feel to accept that doctrine. I mean, they accept that feeling and that doctrine over the Word of God. They are deceiving Christians to believe in the feeling and judgment they get, and the Christians are not trying the spirits and lining it up to the Word of God and seeing whether it be so or not. They are leaving the Word of God and going up. And I warn you that if that's step number one, is to make you feel Jesus doesn't love you when he says that he does, that Jesus hasn't forgiven you when he says that he does, that you cannot make him when he says that you can. That's step one. Step two, then, is start breaking the scriptures, going by the feeling, knowing things about other people, and accusing, and et cetera, contrary to the Word of God. Once he's got you on the run now, where you believe what he gives, step three is another doctrine, theologically. Now it begins to be easy because he has had much practice in getting you in these areas, and now you're wide open for deception theologically because you are already believing other things contrary to the Word of God. I warn you solemnly that in the last day there will come great deception and a great falling away. And if you want to make the bride, then you are going to have to obey the Word of God and try the spirits. You are going to have to check everything that comes into your mind with the Word of God and step, lie on it if it's contrary, and throw it out and not believe it or feel it. Now that means some of you have got some work to do. That means you've got some house cleaning to do. You've got some praying and repenting to do. You have got a stand to take. You're in trouble because you are not hearing the word of God. You're saying, well, I just feel. Yeah, but I feel. There's no yeah buts to God's word. When Jesus stands in front of you and says, by the authority of God himself, I declare unto you, you don't stand and say, yeah, but I feel. This is more serious than Christians are taking it. If God's word teaches his blood covers you, his blood covers you. And anything he tells you, you must do, any position you must take, you have got to take that position. You've got to do that and let God be true and all men a liar. And the devil too. The greatest deception, I think, perhaps, is that the devil has foisted is today is that there is no devil. There's no devil, there's no demons. And even there's no God. That is believed widespread. As a matter of fact, if you go out in this Christian nation and begin to talk about devil and demons, you'll find out that the average person will look at you with amazement and think you just jumped out of the Middle Ages. Oh, there's no devil, there's no demons. Surveys among Christians and even evangelicals have shown that many of them don't believe in a devil. And fewer believe in the demons. And fewer as yet believe that he can do anything to you. And fewer yet believe that he is doing anything to you. And fewer yet believe that he's lodging in anybody. Now, not far behind that deception are some others. Like hiding their presence in a Christian. They deceive them and hide inside of them. And they don't even know he's there. I'm not talking about demon possession. I'm not talking about possessing your spirits. I'm talking about lodging there. Well, we know they lodge there as cancers. You can't prove that they don't lodge there and in order and entice your mind rather than out here in the air. There's no way for you to prove that. But you're really up against it when they begin talking out, declaring their name, what they've been doing, and you see all the activity of it, the manifestations. But when this thing happens to such an extent, you've got some tall explaining to do. It's going to have to be a lot more than just kind of whitewashing the thing and rubbing it, kind of sloughing it off the counter. You've got to come to grips with this thing of these people who love Jesus Christ, who are themselves contesting that very spirit within them, with eyes glazed and teeth, and you see them go with tremendous strength and got strength that takes many people to control them and hear their own voice calling against it and hear their own testimony that it wasn't me, it was them. And all the time they're pleading with Jesus against the spirit that's calling out of their mouth, what else are you going to say? And you see it coming, you see their life changed. You're going to have to believe something. Not far behind is pawning their feelings on the Christians. Pawning their feeling on the Christians, making the Christian think it's his feeling. Instead of recognize, no, that's not the way I feel, that's the way he feels. And planting the homing devices in Christian homes is another deception. That is a tremendous deception. You can hardly find a Christian home that isn't full of homing devices for demon spirits. Talk about a grand deception. Well, that's one of them. To fill Christian homes with homing devices that the spirits can come into and identify with as symbols of the Satan's kingdom. And almost every home has got them in. People do not realize until you go home. You go home and look at anything historical. You closely look at it and look around and see if you see any mythological gods and other type of things. You can hardly get away from it. It's particularly people in the antique business. Anytime you get anything historical, down to the ages, almost always, there you'll find out to your amazement if you look close. It was sitting there all the time. You didn't even know it. And disguising the occult so as it appears innocent and non-demonic. The average person in America has no idea that the occult is demonic. And they even use the occult in a positive sense. They come out and talk about the occult. They don't even mean it in a derogatory sense.
These are real deceptions of the devil. This is Satan's golden age for deception in Christian lands. Because few take him or God seriously. Most don't even believe he exists. Most own his homing devices but don't know it. And besides, don't think he's homing in when he is. And don't know that they're being impacted. Moreover, moral standards are at an all-time low in America. And the devil is right here working. Is the Church of Jesus Christ at large up to meeting the demonic challenge of the day? Hardly. All you have to do is look at the church and see whether the church is overturning the work of the demons or whether the demons are enmeshing the church in what they're doing. And you'll find out that the kingdom of the devil is converting the church faster than the church is converting the kingdom of the devil. The Church of Jesus Christ is becoming worldly and full of all manner of practices of the occult and of demonic things. And of filling up Christians' lives with the spirits of the devil. Their lives, gossip, jealousies, lusts, spirits of adultery, spirits of fornication, spirits of fear, spirits of skepticism, spirits of rebellion, spirits of insubordination, and spirits of hatreds and spirits of schisms and variances, and all manner of spirits are being lodged in Christians because they have not kept themselves clean and from the spirit world. The Church of Jesus Christ at large is full of ignorance, apathy, carnality, unwillingness, and rebellion. We have got to arise to the cry of the Spirit in a desperate hour for deliverance and to walk clean and to keep ourselves clean before the Lord. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 27 and verse 3, we read this. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Now, can this be said regardless of the state of Israel and the king? Can Israel and the king, regardless of the state, say, I will not fear when a host is encamped about me, and though war comes against me, I have confidence in God, he will not hurt me? No. No. The book of Judges proves that every time they got careless in their lives and sin, that a host did come against them, and nations did come against them, and they were overtaken. This can only be said by a friend of God who loves him. In the Church of Jesus Christ, it can only be said by those who are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You have to be a conqueror. You've got to be a conqueror. Are you a conqueror or are you a victim? The average Christian is a victim and not a conqueror. But God has not called us to be victims, but conquerors. More than conquerors. Triumphant in it. Like that vision I saw. That happened when the elders were up in that room. We all were together in that powerful, powerful singing like we've never heard before. And every man was a full axe handle across the shoulders. Together, running with such power and victory, off to war, and there was such a confidence. There was no fear. There was absolute confidence and assurity, moving with great power right along with no fear. We're going to go out and take the enemy, and that's it. There wasn't the slightest bit of hesitation or fear. That's where God's army should be, and one day will be. Are you ready to cast out Satan's warriors and withstand a host of invaders as they try to come back against you, those at the cross can. Those at the cross can. You don't have to have great pedigree. You don't have to come from a long line of pills. You don't have to trace your ancestry back into the famous men of old, have royal blood, so to speak, coursing through your veins. There isn't such a thing, except in the God of Jesus Christ in a spiritual sense. But those who have come to the cross and denied themselves and taken up his cross and followed Christ, those have come to the cross, they can stand against a host encamped against them. And I want to give a warning to you. I want to warn you, it is not enough to get delivered of demonic spirits. If they come back and find the room swept and garnished, they will come back with more besides, and the latter end will be worse than at the beginning. They will come back and knock at your door again. You have got to fill the vacancy with a positive, with Jesus Christ, with love for him, with a love relationship in him, with the word of truth as your conviction, with integrity, with his life, with truth. You have got to put a positiveness there. You cannot just walk around feeling kind of void because the devil is gone. One person's like, feel kind of a void. Fill it quickly with the power and the love and the strength and the promise and the victory of Jesus Christ, and walk in that victory with a promise and a glory and a joy and a power. You've got to have that. And you've got to put a double guard to your mind, a double guard to your tongue and your heart, lest any spirit beguile you and get back in. You make sure everyone has the password, and it better be the right one according to the book before you let them in. We have got to be more careful with our minds and our hearts and our tongues. We have got to be more careful who we let in our minds, I say, and our hearts and our tongues. We cannot let every spirit just walk right in like it's Grand Central Station and operate in our minds. We cannot let them wander in the front door of our minds and operate our equipment. We have got to know who's there and who isn't there, and to keep out those that don't belong there. Jesus Christ treated demons as real. He treated them as intrusion that must be cast out. And he gave command that they be cast out. He treated them as powerful adversaries that he did not feel. Not that the devil left him alone. To the contrary, he had the greatest attack of all. He was assigned the one who's in charge of everybody else in the underworld, on his case. But he stood firmly and confidently in God, on God's word. And we have got to stand on God's word. And when the devil comes and says, well, you don't love God because you sinned again, you need to say, you are a liar. Get out! You will not come in here with that garbage. As today, human witnesses in the day of Christ quibbled about Christ's doctrine of casting out demons, of his authority, of his action, and the reality of the case. But the demons had no such quibble, no illusions. And neither did the exorcised ones. And some had to say, well, there's one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I see. That spirit's off of me. That I know. In 1 John 3:8, we read this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Apolumai, I think this is, it means to bring to naught or to make void, destroy the ability. Like the wineskins would be destroyed when they destroyed the ability to use them. They didn't vaporize. Same word used there. He wants us to destroy the works of the devil. Everything the devil sends out, we smash it. We don't allow it to operate. We destroy every working that comes out of the mouth. Every lie. Everything that the devil would send to us, we destroy it. We don't allow it to exist or remain. We don't hold it. We don't pass it on. We don't keep it. We don't harbor it. We kill it. In the name of Jesus, we come against it. Do it. So let's let him destroy the works of the devil. Let's yield to God's revelation in spirit. Let's cooperate with God. Let's put to naught the works of the devil. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 1 we read, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils, meaning demons, and to cure diseases. He gave them power and authority over all demons. Not the non-prince ones, not the weakest ones, all. Well, are we his disciples? Some say, oh, but that was the 12. Well, in chapter 10, Christ appointed 70 also. Now, are they not representative of the church to come? There was no church yet. So he couldn't give it to the church. There wasn't any. He gave it to 70 also. Don't they represent any of the church? But are we sure that is for us? Well, if you become convinced, will you follow Christ's command? You see, there are people asking the question who are not willing to follow after they get the answer. And that's why they're asking the question. Because they'd rather not deal with demons. But deal with him you must, because you're under attack by him. You see, what do these peace lovers do, you know, with a waving their daisy and say, we don't believe in war, when all of a sudden you hear, oh, 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 and all the lights go off and you're under an air attack. Woo! Hey, see my flower. Doesn't do any good to wave flowers and hold slogans when they're bombing you. And keep on bombing you. You cannot ignore war, Phil. You're being bombed. You're under attack. You can't put your head in your sand. You've got to take a stand. Mark 16:17, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. Do you believe? Christ's great commission says, go ye therefore, based on all powers given me. Go ye therefore. Does Christ's commission include us? The church has always preached that the great commission includes us. Because they didn't go to the ends of the world. It's for us to go to the ends of the world. Then we are to go therefore. Then the commission is upon us. We that believe shall cast out demons. John 14:12 said, he that believeth on me, he that believeth, not the 12 or the 70, but he that believeth, do you believe? The works that I do, shall he do also. Well, he cast out demons, so that means us too. And greater, you know what that means? Unrecorded works. Works you'll never read about in hell, because he never did them. You're going to do works that he never did, not recorded in the book. And what did you find that in the Bible?
I find it in this verse right here in John 14, 12. You shall do unrecorded works. Greater works than I have done, there's not anywhere recorded in the book. That you shall do. That's where I find the proof, right there. Now, is there any question left? Well, I feel demons should be cast out of unbelievers. Well, then do it. Good luck, Charlie. Because the demons entered on good grounds, and they still have good grounds. So you try to get them out. Never saw the Holy Ghost yet ever lead a person to go out to an unbeliever and try to get the devil out of them. But when they become believers and they want to get free, now you can begin to work on them. Debate now whether I have time to bring my next section. I think I won't. It's going to take, I got a beautiful little section here, but it's going to take a little while to bring it, maybe. I think I'll save that, although I got some sermons already laid out for the weekend. I'm going to save that, and this, I'll just finish up right where I am, because I'm kind of moving into the next area here. I feel that we are in a desperate age. I'll be talking more about this subject Sunday morning in the morning message, and also Sunday evening, I think. I have a hunch I will not get through that message in the morning. I'll be showing you some things about this big field of the occult and what's happening out here and what God is wanting to do and so forth. I feel that all of a sudden we are seeing the devil attacking the church like never before. That is, individual Christians are under personal attacks like they haven't been under a new personal attack at a point where they have been more determined than ever. And they are moving into a decision to move up. And the devil sees that the time is very short, that God's people are teaching on authority, and he hates that. He's been trying to break that down by the lawlessness and the women's liberation movement and the media and everybody, you know, always attacking the president and all authority and everybody questioning everybody. Even a big sign out here on some bridge or something that says, big, huge letter, says, question authority. And that becomes, that's the idea of the people today. And while we're preaching about the bride of Jesus Christ and making yourself ready and all the rest, the devil has come with an onslaught. And the Spirit of God is rising up in God's people that really care about him, not just playing church, and beginning to really take a stand. And the devil has come on furiously, and if it were not for the fact that God is forcing these demons out of hiding to expose themselves, to be visible so we can see them, hear them, and hate them like we've never hated them. Once you hear them talk, particularly when you're behind it and you're hearing them talk through your mouth and say things that you would never say, and you hear this terrible volley come out, and you're praying against everything you've got, and you feel it in you, and you see it claiming you and saying, well, I have a right. One party asked, he said, why are you staying in that person? He says, because he believes the lie. Because he believes the lie. I've given him a lie, and he believes it, so I have a right to stay in him. You see, it's important not to believe the lies. Lies about other people probably feel this way about you, and they probably think, I just know that that's what they're doing. I just know the pastor doesn't love me, and I just know this. You mean those demons are telling you that you don't know any such thing. Well, I just feel. You know? Well, I just feel. Oh, you feel. On what grounds do you feel? How can you feel what somebody else is thinking? Well, I just feel he's thinking. How can you feel what he's thinking? I don't know. You better start knowing.
you're feeling something within you, all right. It's a lying spirit that's inputting your mind and influencing your feelings, and you've got no way, you've got no proof. You're feeling things, you become positive on the basis that you have believed by faith the lie of the devil. You've got to be careful. If it were not for the fact that God is exposing these things right now, causing us to hate them and drive them out, we wouldn't have much hope to be able to stand against the new onslaught of the enemy. Because he's come out with a new force. God says, I'm going to expose you for that. And because he's getting exposed, then he's coming on angrier than ever. But know this, he's doing his best now. And he's losing people. He's doing his best, and we're still safe in the blood of Jesus Christ. They're fighting with all the fury. They're doing everything they can. And everyone that will stay under the authority God has given, that will believe in Jesus Christ and the Word of God, that will follow it, that will stand on it, that will resist the devil, rebuke the devil, will demand that he leave them, is safe. There are people being lost. But the people being lost are those that are giving up. Those that are believing the lie. Those that are being filled with lust and decide not to fight it. That is a dangerous thing. Apathy is dangerous. And there are those right now, and I suspect even within this room, that are just about given up fighting the spirit within. And they say, it's so hard to fight him. I'm getting so tired of fighting him. I can't seem to win. That is because of the method in which you're fighting him. You're not using God's atomic weapons, as I preached the other day. You are fighting him in your own strength with your own mind, and therefore you are losing. Because he's a superior foe to you. But you have not come to the cross. You have not obeyed your pastor. You have not obeyed the word of God. You have not obeyed God himself, his spirit. It says, come to the cross. Deny yourself. You have not been willing to deny yourself. You have not been willing to obey God's word no matter what the cost. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We have not respected him and loved him and reverenced him. We have wanted it, and therefore, we're going to do it. We fight it. We only have remorse when it's over, but we give in quickly when the temptation comes. We have got to fight that thing with everything in us. As that thing comes, we've got to see it as a dragon, and we've got to battle it. We've got to fight it. We cannot give in to everything that comes our way. The fact that it feels good is beside the point. It is illegal in the sight of God. And it's dangerous. It's demonic. The devil is behind it. A demon came to a woman, Christian woman, whose husband was being seduced by another woman who had a demon seducing. And that demon said to her, if you will let me in, I will cause you to have that same spirit. I'll cause you to be able to seduce your husband like that. Great temptation for a woman in that position. But she said, I wouldn't do it because I knew I could not trust that spirit. That spirit will come and give you a love for somebody that's not your mate. But once you've divorced your mate and you go in and you marry that person, the honey will turn to vinegar. He won't keep that same feeling up there any longer, because once it's legitimate, so to speak, even in a legal way, he will not have it, and he'll withdraw that lying emotion, withdraw that thing, and when it's withdrawn, you'll be right back in the soup. Worse yet, in most cases. You can't trust the devil. Don't make pacts with him. I were monarch of this nation, I would not loan the Soviet Union one dime. They're still loaning them money. Germany just the other day made a $1.6 billion loan to them. France has made a secret meeting, a secret pact with the Soviets. Contrary to what Reagan was asked the Europe to do. And this nation is already, oh, the Western banks have done so much. Rockefeller has just been appointed in a pointy position in relationship to the East Bloc countries in the banking credits. After he has already made a statement that this conservative government is trying to ruin what they've been doing and the one-worlding action. People don't seem to learn. We look at them in amazement and shake our heads. But then we can look at ourselves in amazement and shake our heads. And see, it happens in the very camp of Jesus Christ. We talk about us. We have been, communism has taken the globe because of the Western banks and the capitalism. Anybody who knows anything about this has known that they would have fallen a long time ago without our help. And if that seems to be absolute, total stupidity and ignorance, then just stop and look how Satan couldn't have any grounds in us if we had not been. Look what we've done. You have innocent little tiny babies, you bring them up and you have them dedicated to Jesus Christ. Little tiny innocent things. You send them out to Sunday school to teach them Jesus loves you and Jesus made the flowers and the trees and the birds and the butterflies. And then you buy a TV and you set it right down and you plug it in the wall and you take them and you set it right down in front of it and you click that thing on and you start feeding them with all that stuff from the world. And you buy them a little book with the things and the occults in it and you buy them all kinds of things and you teach them the ways of worldliness. And then you yourself give examples and you and your husband, you fight, you do all these things, you want to obey God's word and you give them a living example of how to fight and argue with each other. And you bring them up that way. And then we go out and purposely bring in demons. We go out, get a Playboy magazine. We go out to that film that we know that we should not be seeing. We go out and do that thing that we know is wrong. We know God's word forbids it. We know that the demon will have it. We walk right into it. We call them up and say, hey, let's get some more demons, you and me, okay? The folly. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And there's so many, they can't make it because they're double-minded. There's a person right now. We put him out of the church. Terrible, you know, in his position. We finally had to put him out. And out of a heart of trying to help him, trying to save his soul, being kind to him, and all the words, holding out hope if he get deliverance. Say, go to that church, they practice deliverance, and if you want to go there and see if you can get delivered. And so he goes to church, and then he accuses this community chapel of the church. The very place he's trying to get delivered. That's like stealing a Bible before you go to a prayer meeting. Go out and let the devil come in and full of accusations the very time he's trying to get delivered of his accusations. That was the very reason he was put out. Because there's constant bitterness and accusations and things because the devil's on him and he's hurt. He doesn't have any cause. He doesn't have a thing to really say. He's got nothing, if you know the case. There's not a thing he has. Everybody's been sweet to him. But the devil's been on him. And you see, too many times, Christians are working against themselves all the time and wondering why they can't overcome the devil. They sneak out and have that pre-dinner martini. They go out and they have that jealousy. They have that rage. They let the devil come in and they attack the wife and they accuse and they berate the husband and they won't submit. And they wonder why they're having a rough time getting delivered. We've got to wake up and think. You can't call for a demon and say, "Demon of insubmission, I need you right about now because my husband wants me to do something and I don't want to do it. I need your strength." And then you use that. And then we also call rebellion. And you come down and say, "Yes, yes, Jesus, I give up rebellion. Rebellion, go in Jesus' name, rebellion." You say, "No, I'm not going any place. You love me, you want me, you need me, you know it, and I'm not going." And he stays right there. They pray and they pray and they pray and wonder why you can't get rid of him. Because you want him. You don't want him at the moment, but you'll be wanting him again. You'll call him. He's on call. We have got to wake up as to what we are doing. Just finished preaching a message, and the people will be walking out of the church and somebody will flare up. Just finished teaching on the subject. And you look and say, "You know, you mean you sat and listened to this entire message and you learned absolutely nothing? And before you even get to the door, somebody has some contrary spirit between them and their husband or something like this?" We just say, "Well, church is over. I'm back to the old one. Devil, hello, here I am again. You and I are partners again now. I'm out of church now." Yeah. "Now I come to get delivered of you, but I'll be back tomorrow. And you and I'll do business again." Did you see why people are not getting delivered, some of them? Did you see why it's such a struggle? They go so quickly, and people that have got the ground plowed up to the cross, they just go boom, 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 no matter what, they're just all gone. Wrestle with one fella for 3 hours, somebody did. Zero. 3 hours produced zero. That was the worst case we had. I think everybody else has gotten something, perhaps. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. I guess all, perhaps others will have it. You see, there's something wrong. Inside the heart, there's deceitfulness and unwillingness to give up this thing. We want deliverance from the devil without losing him. We want to get rid of the devil, but not his influence. We want to get rid of the devil, but not his feelings. And not his strength. And you can't do that. You're going to have to hate the system, lock, stock, and barrel, the whole kingdom, the whole thing, and you have to repudiate the whole thing. Even if we'll leave you absolutely, totally vulnerable, naked, and you say, "Well, I don't know what's going to happen to me." Good. Walk by faith. You don't have to know. "I don't know what it's going to feel like." You don't have to know what it feels like. "I don't know what it's going to feel like to be in heaven, but I don't care." You don't have to know what it feels like to be rid of walking free of those things. How can you be scared of being free of demons? I don't understand. People are scared I get free of these, and maybe I won't be myself. I don't know myself any other way. You don't know yourself anywhere. All you know is the demon. Get rid of it and get acquainted with yourself. You'll like it a lot better than what you had. I don't understand how anybody could be afraid of losing demons and being something else. I've been sick all my life. I'm afraid to get rid of my sickness. I don't know how it's going to feel. Try it. It's good. I think we ought to really take a stand against the devil. I think we need to start using the brains that God gave us and start checking everything we think and do. And I think that everything needs to be checked by this book and by the Word of God. One more thing, integrity. You cannot be a liar and sloppy in integrity and be free of demonic influence. You cannot say, "Well, I sell Shackley products. And so when I go to the grocery store, I make sure that I talk to somebody about Shackley so I can declare to my IRS that I can write off the whole thing. I go on a vacation and I talk about, hey, you want to buy some Shackley?" I tell a neighbor, I can write my whole vacation. See, that is lack of integrity. That is contrary to the legal rulings of the IRS. You cannot cheat. I'm on Social Security, not supposed to be, but, you know. See, that lack of integrity you cannot have lack of integrity. You can count on me. I'll be there at 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Never show up. Never call. See, you have promised. You have broken your promise to somebody. They're counting on you. You Christians have been, people have been brought up in this world with terrible lack of integrity. And you, if you're going to be a Christian, you have got to be a man of your word. If you promise to pay somebody on Wednesday, you pay them on Wednesday. You do everything possible. You go out of your way to make a phone call. You make sure they got a letter in their hands. You can't make a payment to somebody. You don't ignore it. You call them up and you tell them, and if it's going to be more than a little bit late, you write a letter and you tell them your position and ask them if they'll just bear with you. You do what you promised. You do everything to fulfill your promise. You walk by integrity. And if you don't, then you're a liar, you're unworthy of the kingdom, you're not a good Christian, you're sloppy in the things of God, and you open up wide to demons. And now that's going to hit a lot of some people. We have got to be people of integrity, honesty, truth. That's the armor of truth about the loins. No lying to anybody. Truth. You see, we cannot walk free and then we plug the holes in the dike. We have got to make sure that we're living the life we're singing about, talking about, preaching about. You want to get free from demons? Breastplate of righteousness. Loins of truth. Feet, preparation for the gospel of truth, witnessing. Helmet of salvation. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Shield of faith. You can't go out there without the armor on and defeat the devil. Righteousness and truth are the body armors. Christians walking in unrighteousness and untruth, loading up demons, having trouble getting delivered and staying delivered. Those demons will come right back to you unless you walk with integrity and righteousness and the Holy Ghost. Now, your pastor has been faithful to lay it on the line. And I trust that you will take this because I love you. I want this body to get free. And then I want us to be able to go on and have God be able to come and pour out a mighty shower of His love and His glory and give us the gifts, open doors, and send us out with power to evangelize and fulfill the Great Commission and to bring, make us into His own image and make us without, and put us in the bridehood without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And we cannot stay sloppy agape forever. We have got to move into the walk of the Spirit of a people that are worthy, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith they are called. People of the name who know Him and walk in faithfulness and obedience. Because that those are the people that God said would eat the fruit of the land. Those are the people He said will get the blessings and not the cursings. Those are the people He will protect and build a wall of fire about. You want to get delivered and have a wall of fire about you? Love Him. Obey Him. And God will see you through anything and everything. But you try to walk in the world and walk for God in deliverance, you'll get so tired of trying to fight the devil. You'll get so discouraged of sinning. You'll get so placed in the slough of despair because you're just fighting, struggling. You'll be always in the swamp up to your eyes. You'll be waiting, finding the Christian life will get so dull, so tired, so hard. You'll get so weary, so worn out. You'll quit. And that's why Christians are quitting, is because they won't get out of the swamp. Get out into the high road and walk clean and free of the swamp and the gators. Come out of that place and walk in holy ground. And the devils won't be able to touch you. And like Lester Summerall said, and I close with this, he made a statement. His boy got up in the room with some other kids and they tried to take one of these rock and roll records that they learned that if you play it backwards, It magnified the devil. I'm not sure the details. And I don't know what they do. I suppose they spin the record backwards or something. Anyway, he came running down. There was a manifestation in the room. And he came running down and said, Dad, there's a devil in my room. The devil's in my room, he said. A manifestation happened after they got doing this. They were trying to get him in. They were trying to heal this thing. And his dad said, you better tell me how it got there. So he confessed. And he was shaking. And he told him the apparition, I mean, that happened up there. And so the dad stormed up. And if you don't believe some law, you can believe this. And he stormed up to the bedroom. And he rebuked the devil. He had his son repent. And he rebuked the devil. And he said, I'm not afraid of you, and I'm going to sleep in this room tonight. He said, and I'm not afraid of you, and you get out of here, and that's it, you know. And so he said, put something to sleep in his room. I'm going to sleep here. And he said, you're not going to do anything. He said, you know. See, he wasn't afraid. Well, I know from that room because the devil's doing it. I'm going to go, his son is in a room in your bed, you know, you can get my bed. No, no. He says, I'm not afraid of you. How come he's not afraid of him? Because if you're walking right, and you got God on your side, you're not going to be afraid of the devil. But most of us need to be good and afraid of the devil because we're not walking right. We get walking right, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. The devil should have about the same amount of impact on us that it had on Smith Wigglesworth when he heard that scratching at his door, and he opened it up and saw that demonic manifestation. He looked at him and said, oh, it's you. Closed the door and locked it and went back to bed. I mean, just, you know, just a demon, that's all. It's just, you know, they're always trying to get in, you know. Always trying to get in. Just you. Oh, it's you. Didn't even bother to ask him what he wanted. And he didn't invite him in to have a drink and chat a bit. He slammed the door, locked him, and back to bed and forgot it. And he didn't spend half his night rebuking demons and fast praying for angels and everything else. He knew he couldn't touch him. He belonged to God. He was clean. He wouldn't even let a newspaper in his house for fear he'd let false doctrine in. I mean, he cleaned the house and kept it clean. See, he walked by that principle. If he saw what some of us have in our homes, well, he'd fall over in a dead faint. Let's walk by the word, and they won't be able to touch us. Amen?